Jana Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Salasaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitam Yena Bhutam Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Tadamishwa Adantinam. Vandeham Shri Guram Shri Yuta Padakamanam Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Shikamitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Nilavantu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Danta Radha Kanta Namoshtite Tanta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabaru Sute Devi Pranamami Vanchakalpatarovyascha Kripasindhuvyayetvacha Patitanam pavane Vaishnavibhyo namo namah. Jaya Sri Krishna Charitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Vasari Gora Bhaktare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Jai Radha Madha.
Jaya Jaya Thank you.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. One who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Unless one is in Krishna consciousness, there is no possibility of peace. So it is confirmed in the fifth chapter that when one understands that Krishna is the only enjoyer of all good results of sacrifice and penance, that he is the proprietor of all universal manifestations, and that he is the real friend of all living entities, then only one can have real peace. Therefore, if one is not in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be a final goal for the mind. Disturbance is due to want of an ultimate goal, and when one is certain that Krishna is the enjoyer, proprietor, and friend of everyone and everything, then one can, with a steady mind, bring about peace. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace, however much he may make a show of peace and spiritual advancement in life. Krishna consciousness is a self-manifested peaceful condition which can be achieved only in relationship with Krishna. So a very good psychology Krishna has applied to speak to Arjuna, that you want to leave this Kurukshetra with the idea to have peace in the forest, avoiding fighting. But you can't have peace of mind, doesn't matter where you are, if you are not connected with me through Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness. So, if there is no peace, how can somebody be happy? No matter how comfortable or rich or powerful somebody be, if he doesn't have peace of mind, nobody can be happy. And peace of mind can't be had unless the intelligence is connected, in touch with the Supreme Lord, through Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness. So what means transcendental intelligence? Everybody has intelligence. Some more, maybe more, some less, but everybody has some intelligence. This reminds me the story of Akbar, Mughal king who ruled North India, Middle Ages. He asked his minister, Birbal, people are born intelligent or they can become intelligent? So Birbal said, anyone can be intelligent if there is an actual need. So that's an interesting theory. Can you prove it? Birbal said, yes. As you saw it announced in New Delhi city, that such day, everybody has to come to the palace and pour 1 liter of milk in the palace pool. It's an order from the king. Everybody has to obey and see what happens. So Akbar said, all right, he sent the messengers to the city announcing that all citizens have to do this, such and such day, such time. That day came, and Akbar and Birbal, they were disguised as, you know, pilgrims, so no one would recognize them. And they were around the swimming pool to see what would happen. So the first person came, and they approached him, and they asked him, oh, we are pilgrims visiting here the palace, and can you please tell us what's going on? And we see many people coming on, so is there any special celebration or something? No. We have a very eccentric king. And he ordered us to pour 1 liter of milk in the palace pool. Are you going to do that? Oh, no, I'm not a fool. I'm going to pour a liter of water. Everybody's going to pour milk. Who's going to notice? Okay, that's clever of you. Okay. But to their amazement, everybody who came poured a liter of water instead of milk. Nobody poured milk. So Birbal said, that proves my theory. When there is an actual need, anybody can be intelligent. Of course, we are talking here about material intelligence. To build the, you know, airplane, or skyscraper building, or car, or computer, anything we need. There is need for intelligence to do that. For material things, there are different varieties of intelligence. People may have capability in one field, somebody has in a different field. Nobody knows everything. Only God knows everything. Krishna knows everything. But here, Krishna is speaking about spiritual intelligence. And how we get this spiritual intelligence, transcendental intelligence, the Lord is speaking about here. This, when we hear from the Supreme Intelligence, if you want to get something, you have to go to the source. And Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the source of all intelligence. So if we hear Him speaking Bhagavad Gita, we also will get, of course, apply this knowledge also. Not enter one ear and comes out from the other ear. After 5 minutes, we forget everything. No, we should try to retain and understand and analyze, apply in our lives this teaching of Bhagavad Gita, which is very practical instruction. Very easy to apply with the proper guidance, of course. If you want to study music, you can do it by your own, but that will take a long time. If you get a teacher, that's much easier. And in Germany, they have a music school, and when people go to apply, the first question they ask them, do you know to play an instrument? And if the person says yes, they'll ask, how you learn to do this? If they say by their own, they charge them double. Because it takes time to make them forget why they learned by their own, to learn the proper way. So that more work for them. But they have to charge them more. So that's why it's important to learn from somebody who knows. Even if you want to learn anything in life, you need somebody who can teach you, who knows better than you. So the same way, spiritual life also is such an important thing. Naturally, there is a need for guidance to help us to understand the subject properly. Is it? So here, it is explained that in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 29, Lord Krishna says, Bhaktaram yagyatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suritam sarva bhutanam yatunam shantim richati. That those who understand, who knows that I am the supreme enjoyer, all sacrifices and penances, that I am sarva loka maheshwaram, I am the owner, the controller of all the planets in the universe. And Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, I'm the best friend of every living being. Those who understand these three things, that the Lord is the supreme enjoyer, proprietor, and friend, that person can achieve everlasting peace. So, how we can apply this understanding? One may say just to understand this theoretically. No, one means has to live by it too. To understand it theoretically is good, that's the beginning. But then comes the application. And the application means that we try not to compete with Krishna to be the best enjoyer. In this material world, everybody's competing with everyone else to try to be the best in everything, in anything. Is it? Nothing wrong if you do it for Krishna. I want to be the best for Krishna. So Krishna will be proud of me. He's the Supreme Father. Everybody wants to please, you know, the superior. The children want the parents be proud of him. They do good in their exams, in the school, and everything. Their friends will praise them, oh, you are such a good student. But person feel good, no? Yes, I want to continue to improve like that. This is natural psychology. So same thing we can apply when, because we are a spirit soul, we are not this material bodies. And the soul is part of the supreme soul, God, Krishna. So we have a loving eternal relationship with the Lord, and we have just forgotten this. And we are wandering in this world of samsara. Samsara means repeated birth and death. Nobody wants to get old or to get sick, not to speak of dying. But this material world is made in such a way that everybody has to undergo this austerities, this miseries. Adhyapika, divautika, vidaya. And besides that, the misery of the body, pain, of disease, demand, anxiety, stress, so many other things, fear, confusion. All these things can be cleared out if we take shelter, take intelligence from the Supreme Intelligence, Krishna. And how we can do that? A simple process. Simple process. Bhakti yoga is simple and sublime. Start with the tongue. The tongue has two functions, to vibrate sounds and to taste food. So if we vibrate the sounds, the Maha Mantra, the holy name of the Lord,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And taste the Krishna Prasad, then spiritual life begins. It's a very simple way, anybody can. It's a very nice and sublime beginning. And then one becomes more interested, there are books also explaining the philosophy. How to live by it, how to feel the bliss of being in touch with the Lord. Everybody is looking for happiness in this world. The problem is, once a reporter asked our Guru, Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, Master, what is the goal of life? And Prabhupada replied, the goal of life is to enjoy. He was shocked. The guru is not telling him. Prabhupada said, yes, that people don't know what this actual enjoyment is. It's like somebody looking for water in the desert. There is water, but not in the desert, somewhere else there is. So to look for happiness in this world is like trying to find water in the desert. Very difficult job. Sometimes somebody lost in the desert, received a ride, nice leg, and he jumps. Just hit his face against the hot sand. So there is many promises. This material world promises many things. You will be happy if you do this, you do that. All the propagandas on TV, you know, everywhere. That if you get this, you get this other thing, you buy this fashion, this new car, you will be happy. And after you get these things, after much effort, after some little time you lose interest. You need to find something else. But that's the nature of material things. They don't satisfy the soul. The soul needs higher satisfaction. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that devotees should learn to die to live. People live to die. Everybody's living to die. They don't know what is after death, what is the purpose of life. Not, they just think they live to die. But somebody who's interested in the spiritual life, he knows the other way around. How to die to live. In relation to that, I will tell you one story. There was a Gujarati businessman. And he went to Africa to do business. So after he finished his business, he went to some park, you know, to amuse himself. And he was walking in the park, you know, enjoying the nice lake and atmosphere there. Suddenly he saw a big tree, and on that big tree there were many big, beautiful parrots standing on the branches of the tree. So he became very much interested to watch those birds. Say, oh, I never saw in India such big, beautiful parrots like this. Very colorful, very nice. I would like to catch one of them and carry it with me to home. So he went behind the tree, and moving very swiftly, he jumped on one of the birds and catch one parrot. The other flew away immediately. So he took this parrot to India to home, and put in a very nice big cage. He will give nice fruits and honey and nuts to the parrot. So, and his friend will come, oh, nice parrot, from where you got? Oh, I know from Africa. Very good. So he started to teach the parrot to speak in Gujarati. From Africa became Gujarati parrot. So, you know, parrots learn very fast words. You will be surprised to know that recently scientists were surprised about one African parrot. He has a vocabulary, his own vocabulary, composed of 100 words. And he can compose his own phrases also. Nobody teaches him, he knows. They were completely bewildered how this small bird can speak like that. For example, he see you eating mango, he say, oh, so tasty, give me a little. Like that. It's true story, it's not fiction. It's true story, you can see it on the internet if you want. Anyway, so let's give some credit to our part of our story. So, after 2 years, merchant, told this parrot, my dear parrot, I'm going back to Africa to do some business. And then I go to the park where I found you. If I see your friend, do you have any message for them? Parrot say, yes. If you see my friend, please tell them I miss them very much. I remember them with all my love. But I'm happy in this cage eating the nice fruits and honey you give. Please tell them that. Oh, okay, very good. So after he finished business in Africa, he went to the same part, and he saw the same parish there in that same town. So he gave them the message. And as soon as he did that, one of the parents fell dead to the floor. He was, wow, what is this? This is very mysterious. They were maybe, you know, maybe they were soulmates or something. Anyway, I'm sorry for the parent. What can be done? This is very strange. I can't explain it. Sometimes things happen like that. So he went back to his home in Gujarat. And after, you know, some time, he decided to give the bad news to his parrot. So he told him, sorry, my dear parrot, to give you this bad news, but as soon as I gave your message to your friend, one of them fell dead instantly. And as soon as the parrot heard that, he also fell dead in the cage. I don't know how this can be. He started to cry, how this, oh my dear parrot, how can this possible? I don't understand this, very bewildering, very strange, you know. How this can happen? Anyway, he composed himself after some time, took the dead body from the cage and went to the courtyard and put the parrot on the floor. And he went to find some tool to make a grave for his, to dig a grave for his parrot, you know. As soon as he turned his back, the parrot flew away and stood on a branch of a tree. And he turned completely shocked. Well, you wasn't dead. You cheated me. Why you did this? Why you did this? Oh, I did it because my friend from Africa, he sent me a very important message. And what was that message? The message was that I had to die to live. Because it means to play the dead, you know? So the other part of Africa didn't die either, they just sent a message. So because for a parrot to live in a cage is not real life, you know. Real life for a parrot is to be free, flying from tree to tree, you know, making friends, eating fruits, you know. So the same way, what is the teaching of this story? The story is, we are so like the parrot, and the cage is this one. The same way that the parrot can be really happy in a cage, no matter how nice fruit he may get. The same way, although we are soul and we are in this cage of this body, we can't be happy just by having material commodities and, you know, and material things and comforts. Nothing wrong with that. Not against that. Nothing wrong with that. But that is not everything in life. Must be something more than that. That is the idea. And to search for that means, means to die to live. It means one become interested in higher things. So you lose interest in frivolous things. People waste so much time in frivolous things, unimportant things. So when one becomes interested in a spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, he starts to develop interest in higher things, to know the truth. Who I am, why I am suffering, why I am in this world, who is God, what is my relationship with Him, let me find the truth. So to know the truth makes one free. Makes one die for this illusion to live for reality. That means die to live. And also means, when you're practicing, you know, spiritual life, if temptation comes, you play the dead. Like the example given in the Bhagavad Gita, when the tortoise sees danger, immediately put his lid inside. So, after all, in this material world, everybody is enjoying or suffering according to the past activities, past deeds. That's called karma, you know, you read about this concept. So nothing happened accidentally. And the purpose of life, not just to have a better karma, or, because that is also entangling. Even if you, for example, someone is very, very good person, materially speaking, and he helped many people and open hospital and help the poor. All this is good work, no doubt. But then, next time he has to be born in a very rich family, very nice educated family, to enjoy the result of his activities. And that means to be born again, and that means to get old and get sick and die again. So, purpose of life, human life, is to get free from this cycle, repeated cycle of birth and death. So, because recently I read in one newspaper, one Christian minister, he said that unless we accept the concept of reincarnation and karma, we can't understand the suffering in this world. Why the people are suffering. Because without religion, without philosophy, is sometimes sentimental or even fanatic. But if we have both, religion and philosophy, then we have science, spiritual science, to understand things as they are, why things happen. To explain this idea of karma, let me tell you another story. I don't know if you want to hear so many stories. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, this is a true story. It happened actually the beginning of the 19th century in South America. One immigrant from Spain, he went to South America, Venezuela, with the idea to make the money, to become rich. So he had some money, saving, so he bought a few cows, and his idea was to sell milk, the same business he was doing in his country, in Spain. But he thought, if I want to make money fast, I have to do something. So he started to add water to the milk. He started slowly, first 10% water, and then 15%, slowly like that. At that time, the government was a dictatorship. General Gomez was the dictator at that time, the beginning of 20th century, yeah, beginning 20th century. Anyway, so he took the risk because there were not only fine but jail also because he was doing this. But after some years, he made a lot of money, became very rich. At that time, the currency was golden coin. Now you see only in the museum. Even at my childhood, I have silver coin. Not even that now. It's all paper and plastic. Anyway, this man decided to go back to his country in Spain, Canary Islands, by boat, and he carried a big chest full of golden coins. So the idea to enjoy his life there with his family and friends, you know, a new millionaire, you know. So, but in the middle of the trip, there was a big storm. So huge was the storm that everybody was fearful the boat may sink in the ocean. So the captain sent all the sailors to throw everything heavy in the ocean, in the water. So they were going from each cabin, you know, looking for heavy things, throwing out, you know. So they get to the cabin of this man. And they saw all this very heavy. He said, let me explain to you what is this. I will give you money. No, are you crazy? You want to die? And they throw it to the ocean. So this man wanted to jump after this man. He was completely mad, you know, crying, lamenting, my money, how many years? And after crying for a while and lamenting for a while, he became a little calm. And he spoke to his riches, to his money. He said, with water I made you, in water you left me. It's a true story. He understood the law of karma by direct experience, personal experience. You know the saying, what goes around comes around. So that's the way of karma. Everything we do to others, either good or bad, will come back to us. So the better do only good things, don't do bad things. And the best good thing we can do is for ourselves and for others too, is try to revive, reawaken our dormant love for God, for Krishna. That is the best thing we can do. And that's why we have this Sangha, this temple, with this facility that Srila Prabhupada very nicely created, so we can come together and try to be Krishna conscious, be happy. We want everybody to be happy. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If you have any doubt or question, comment, maybe we have time for one or two. Otherwise, yes, please. Hare Krishna.
Very nice stories, Maharaj. Thank you. Okay. I would like to ask, you can explain, how can you work without detachment? Like Karmanya Vadikarashya, that sloka, I've been trying to get the sense of it, but no matter what I do, I'm not getting grip on it.
It's a very difficult thing. No?
Please give me some story or example.
A very simple example. Somebody working in a bank, no? And he's counting every day thousands, millions even. No? But he knows this money doesn't belong to me. This belongs to the owner of the bank. As soon as he thinks, or she thinks, this money can be mine, put in the pocket, big trouble. They go to jail. Who knows what, big trouble. So, the same way, we should understand that everything in this world belongs to the Lord. Everything. Isn't it? We are not the true owner. We are just caretaker. For the time being, we are under our care. But we are not the actual proprietor. Because when we die, we don't take anything with us. We leave everything. So how we can be a real proprietor? We only caretake. So in the same way, if we understand that really, then we understand. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was also a married man with children, and he was a great magistrate. And he prayed to Lord Krishna, he was pure devotee of Krishna. He said, my dear Lord, if I want to maintain this house, this family, it is because this is your house, this is your wife, this is our only children. Here I am only your servant. Nothing belongs to me. So if one develops this mentality, one can become a saint at home. And that is the idea. That is the whole idea. So if we understand this simple fact, I am not the proprietor, he is the proprietor. I will give you another story, short one, about that. From Prabhupada. Prabhupada was walking in the Juhu Beach one morning. Mumbai, and the devotee invited one very rich man to come also. He was millionaire, crorepati. So, Prabhupada started to have a conversation with this man. He asked him, what do you do for a living? I manufacture glass for all India. I have factories all over India. Very rich man. And Prabhupada said, asked him, and from where you get the sand? What is the main ingredient for the glass? And the man said, oh, the main ingredient for manufacturing glass is sand. And Prabhupada asked, and to whom belongs the sand? Oh, Bhagavan, he is the owner. So you are stealing from Bhagavan. And then I said, no, Swamiji, I also give donation to the temple. Prabhupada said, Okay, then you are a small team. Chota chua. So everybody is begging for Krishna, because everything belongs to him. You should give back something at least. At least to become chota chua, not big chua. Thank you again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.